The bust of Nathan Bedford Forrest sits inside the Tennessee State Capitol in Nashville, roped off from the public. Forrest was a Confederate general, slave trader, and an early leader of the Ku Klux Klan. As Confederate statues and symbols have come down around the South and elsewhere, Tennessee Governor Bill Lee has called for the State Capitol Commission to meet this week to decide what to do about the bust. If the bust were removed from the Capitol, what would take its place? Paula Casey has an idea. Honor the key state lawmakers who made possible the ratification of the 19th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, guaranteeing women the right to vote. Paula is co-founder of the Tennessee Woman Suffrage Heritage Trail.
Paula, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You recently wrote an opinion column that appeared here in the Chattanooga Times Free Press, Honor Women's Suffrage Heroes with Capitol Busts, busts at the state capitol in Nashville. Tell us more about this.
I grew up in Nashville, went to school in Knoxville, and I was up there in 1974 when Pat Head Summit was hired, Pat Head then, and graduated Dawes, and he realized June 28th was 4 years since she died. A great Tennessean, and I'm so glad they have a statue of her on the campus in Knoxville. So we started looking around for where to place public art. But the history of suffragist public art really goes back to then State Senator Steve Cohen, who's now my congressman, and he's a great congressman. Steve is the one who realized that there was nothing inside the state capitol that commemorated Tennessee's pivotal vote. And you know, I say all American women vote today thanks to Tennessee. So I grew up in Nashville. I graduated from UT Knoxville. I did not know this story until I was 21 years old. And of course, there was no public art. And it's important to point out here that public art represents what we think is important as a society. You go into any city, any state capital, the United States Capitol in Washington, D.C., and what do you see? Statues and art dedicated to people and events that are considered important. And we have to point out here that this is where the Daughters of the Confederacy were brilliant. They play the long game. They are the ones who are responsible for putting up all of these statues to the lost cause. And I grew up in Nashville. I believe the lost cause mythology because we were not given the full story. And thank goodness for Ken Burns and his series on PBS, The Civil War, and all of the people that have always been concerned about, quite frankly, statues to people who were fighting against the United States of America. For the longest time, that was never articulated. And of course, what happened in Tennessee was treated like a footnote in history. Enfranchising nearly 27 million American women is more than a footnote in history. So we had a competition that Steve Cohen orchestrated with the Tennessee Arts Commission, Alan McFryer of Nashville, who is so talented, and he is going to be doing the suffragist statue in Chattanooga. So we're excited about that. But we commissioned him, or the Arts Commission did, after he won the blind competition, and he created the bas relief that's hanging inside the state capitol between the House and Senate chambers. And so that was the first public recognition of what happened in Tennessee. And then Wanda Sobieski in Knoxville commissioned Alan to do the statue of the three women representing three grand divisions. And Wanda asked me who should be on that statue representing West Tennessee. And I said Elizabeth Avery Meriwether, because she was Tennessee's first known suffragist. So those three women were unveiled in 2006. Then in 2010, we got a group together in Nashville and we started looking at state property. And this is where the statues that are around the Capitol were fixed. There was no way we were going to move any of them. Well, it turned out that the state wasn't real excited, and so we had to make other plans, and thank God for Nashville Mayor Carl Dean, and followed by all the other mayors who supported putting this monument in Centennial Park. So we unveiled that monument, Tennessee Women's Suffrage Monument, in August of 2016. Then Jackie Hillman of Jackson, who is my co-founder for the Tennessee Women's Suffrage Heritage Trail, did Sue Shelton White, the only Tennessee suffragist that we know of who was jailed fighting for suffrage. And we unveiled Miss Sue in May of 2017. Now we're working on Memphis's. Allen's going to be doing Chattanooga's. Clarksville's going to unveil theirs. Knoxville got a second one that Alan did of Harry Byrne and his mother. We're going to have this art. It's all going to be on the National Votes for Women Trail. We're going to make sure that this art is there so that when we're gone, the story is still going to be told.
And we have to remind folks that this journey that you've taken us on the past few minutes, it's unfolded only in the past few decades.
Right. Largely due to Carolyn Yellen, who was my mentor and close friend. She followed the lead of Dr. A. Elizabeth Taylor, Antoinette Elizabeth Taylor, who wrote her dissertation at Vanderbilt in 1942. Think about that. That was only 22 years after Tennessee had ratified. Tennessee was the last state that could possibly ratify. And that is so important. And of course, people don't realize, I mean, when did they stop teaching civics in the schools? Because people don't realize it takes 3/4 of the states to ratify. And at that time, there were 48 states. And so Tennessee became the 36th state needed to ratify, which is why Tennessee was dubbed the perfect 36. And so Carol Lynn studied Dr. Taylor's book, The Woman Suffrage Movement in Tennessee, which grew out of her dissertation. And Carol Lynn told me that, I don't know if she talked to a family member or found something in Dr. Taylor's papers that said when she was working on her dissertation at Vanderbilt, she was asked if this was a serious topic for a dissertation. You know, this is so ridiculous. So anyway, Carol Lynn did all this research. It was published in American Heritage Magazine in December 1978 called Countdown in Tennessee. And she told me in the 80s that she wanted to do a book because she had so much that was cut out. And at that time, December of 1978, her article was the second longest article ever published in American Heritage. And so out of her research that was not used, we ended up doing a book, The Perfect 36, Tennessee Delivers Women's Suffrage. And the way I raised the money for it, Carol Lynn was dying of breast cancer, and there were people who wanted to help preserve this history, and we donated it to every school, library, and college in the state.
One of the other things that you write about in the column is the bust of Nathan Bedford Forrest there in the state capitol. You have a solution.
I want to give credit to Benton County Mayor Brett Lashley. Mayor Lashley has just been so supportive of our book, Perfect 36, the Tennessee Women's Suffrage Heritage Trail. He is the one who said to me, I have Nathan Bedford Forrest State Park in my county. And I think that the State Capitol Commission, the Tennessee Historical Commission, the governor, all the people who would be involved in this decision need to relocate that bust from the Capitol in the state park. And this makes perfect sense because he said, we can give it a proper display, we can have heritage tourism, they can give it a context. I don't have any problem with preserving. I'm not into book burning, I'm not into eliminating history. I'm into making sure that history is understood within the proper context. So if you move that bust to Benton County, let them have it in the state park. The state will still be responsible for it. They can tell the complete story of Nathan Bedford Forrest's life because, you know, he has his detractors and defenders. Let's tell the whole story. And then in that space, I want something that represents who were those heroes in the suffrage movement because we're getting suffragist public art across the state, but inside the state capitol, there are three men who really should be known by every Tennessean. First is Representative Joseph Hanover from Memphis, a Jewish immigrant from Poland who revered the founding documents of this country. He and his mother and brother immigrated here from Poland when he was 5 years old, and they ended up in Memphis, which had a large immigrant population in the 1890s. And he ended up running for the state legislature, and at that time, Mayor Crump, who is often referred to as Boss Crump. Mayor Crump and he did not get along, and Mayor Crump wasn't really paying attention to that race because everybody was a Democrat back then, but Joseph Hanover refused to run as a Democrat. He ran as an independent, and when he won, it shocked Mayor Crump and all of the establishment folks. So he ended up voting for partial suffrage, which Tennessee approved on April 14, 1919. Now, here's the interesting Benton County connection. You know, this is so cool because Mayor Lashley and I have talked about this. They've got a lot of markers and other information up in Benton County about Mary Cordelia Beasley Hudson. They call her Aunt Cord. She was the first woman to legally cast a vote in the city of Camden on April 22nd, 1919. So there's a lot in Benton County. And Benton County's great. I always have fun going up there. It's right there when you're coming across I-40. It's Tennessee River. It's the first county you enter in West Tennessee. So it's kind of like the door to West Tennessee. So Aunt Cord was the first woman to legally cast a vote. And this is so interesting to think that Tennessee enacted partial suffrage largely due to the urging of Carey Chapman Catt, the national suffrage leader. So Joseph Hanover voted for partial suffrage. He was such a zealous advocate for suffrage. He lost 20 pounds. He had to have a bodyguard because he was beaten and threatened. Carey Chapman Catt was so impressed with him, she asked him to be floor leader. Okay, so Mr. Joe, as we call him in Memphis, and I met him. I mean, Gray, this is so cool. He only died in 1984. That is so recent. I met him in 1983. He was a true hero, and his story is not as well known as Harry Byrne. And we all hear the story about Harry Byrne, and it's a great story. And thank goodness his mother wrote that letter. However, if Mr. Joe hadn't kept those pro-suffrage votes together, it wouldn't have mattered how Mr. Harry voted. And then here's the other one. Gibson County, which is also West Tennessee, Banks Turner was a state representative, Vanderbilt-educated lawyer, farmer, serving in the legislature, and he was in Governor Roberts' office the morning of August 18th, 1920. That is the day that it finally came to a vote during the special session in the House. And Governor Roberts was on the phone with Governor Cox from Ohio, the Democratic presidential nominee. And Governor Cox was just beseeching Governor Roberts to please get the 19th Amendment ratified in Tennessee, the last state that could possibly ratify. And Governor Roberts, while he was on the phone with Governor Cox, pointed at Representative Banks Turner and said, "I'm sitting here looking at the man who can help make this happen." And nobody knew that Banks Turner had been in the governor's office and knew about that conversation. So when the time came to vote to table the motion, which was what Speaker Seth Walker of Lebanon wanted to happen, because let's face it, they were gutless. They didn't really want to go on the record voting for this. They wanted to push it off until the regular session in January of 1921. And that was one of the arguments the anti-suffragists used. So Banks Turner voted to keep the amendment alive. He voted against tabling, much to the consternation of Speaker Seth Walker. So Mr. Joe knew that morning he was two votes short and he didn't know where they were going to come from. So Banks Turner voted to keep the motion alive, to keep it on the table, not off the table. And then Harry Byrne changed his vote and that's how it passed. Is that a great story?
And we are coming up on 100 years of that story because that was August 1920 and we're coming up on August 2020.
Right. And did you realize that the suffragists endured a pandemic? The flu epidemic of 1918-1919. Carey Chapman Catt got the flu. Alice Paul, who was the other major suffrage leader, founded the National Woman's Party, and Sue Shelton White was a member of that. They had the flu, and thank goodness they survived. And isn't it interesting, here we are 100 years later with another pandemic. So what we're going to do is continue the celebration, the centennial celebration. Technically kicks off August 18th this year, and we'll just run everything through August 18th, 2021. So that means all the public art, the movies, the books, and I want to put a plug in here for my friend Bill Halton, who wrote a great book about Joseph Hanover called Joseph Hanover, The Unfinished Business of Democracy. Why Can't Mother Vote is the title. Isn't that a great title? Why Can't Mother Vote? He kept asking his parents that while he was studying in law school.
There are a few things in common with navigating the legislature 100 years ago with navigating the legislature now.
Right. Well, if we could have those three busts, Alan LaFleur has already sculpted Harry Byrne in the Knoxville statue, the second one that they unveiled in 2018, and he's already sculpted Mr. Joe. In fact, Mr. Joe's bust is on the back cover of Bill's book, Why Can't Mother Vote? So he's already done two of them. The state could commission Banks Turner. Jackie Hillman and I feel like Banks Turner does not get enough credit. I mean, that was huge, the pressure that he was under to vote to table that motion so that it would not come up for the vote, and they could delay it, and then conveniently never bring it up again. You know, that was the strategy. So Banks Turner deserves to be remembered. And I think that people need to see these heroes and know what they did and how Tennessee ended up becoming the state that made it possible for all American women to vote. It would just be perfect during this centennial celebration to have them in there.
And where can people go online to follow every step of the celebration?
Wow, there's a lot going on. Representative Robin Smith from Hickson is heading up a statewide group, and I think that's Tennessee Women Vote or Tennessee Vote 100. You know, you can Google Tennessee Celebration, but there are Facebook pages. We have the Tennessee Woman Suffrage Heritage Trail.com, TN for Tennessee, and all of the people who are involved in what made suffrage happen in the state are depicted on that trail. And I just got asked to be the state coordinator for the National Votes for Women Trail. So I'm trying to make sure that all of these residences, markers, statues, and monuments are, and grave sites are recorded.
All right. Paula, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me talk about my favorite topic.